Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. Man, what a difference the weather over the last few days. I mean, it was in the 80s over the weekend. It was warm, Friday and Saturday. Yesterday, the rain, and then today, it feels like we're turning back to wintertime as the temperatures have been dropping all day long, and it was 39 according to my car as I was on the way in, but. We are nice and warm here in the studio on this Monday edition of The Drive. Dan is, I think he's delivering a vehicle. We talked about it, and so many folks have had crazy travel problems, especially flying. I mean, a lot of flights canceled, and Dan's parents. Dan was out Friday because his younger brother got married. But his parents were planning on heading out, I believe, on Thursday, and their flights were canceled. And so they got a different flight, and they were going to fly out of Atlanta to Dallas, but then flying back to Montgomery. So they were trying to figure how they were going to get their vehicle back from Atlanta, and Dan was flying out of Atlanta, so Dan flew back into Atlanta and drove the car here, and I guess he's getting the car back. He'll be in at some point here this afternoon. Thought Brian Matthews, I saw Brian a little earlier today. Stephen Pearl met with the media today about Auburn playing in the NIT. Auburn, the number one overall seed in the NIT. We were asking you about that last week. How would you feel? Auburn is in the NIT. One of the things that was interesting was Stephen was asked about, the players. Is anybody opting out? And Stephen said, well, he hadn't seen the players since the NCAA selection show yesterday, and there was disappointment obviously there when Auburn did not make the field of the NCAA tournament. Said he hadn't seen any of the players since then, but he's here to coach, and he hadn't gotten a call or a text from anyone saying they weren't playing, but he said that they were about to go out and have practice, which was closed, by the way, here this afternoon. So we don't know for sure. At least I don't know for sure. I mean, maybe there has been some news here in the last hour, and haven't seen any updates, but I guess that means that the roster will be intact for the postseason. That's one of the things that we had talked about, and was a bit of a concern. I mean, you saw that Oklahoma, who was the first team out of the NCAA tournament, they declined the NIT bid. That's why Auburn is the number one overall seed in the NIT, and the Tigers will take on South Alabama tomorrow night in a late night game. That is a 9 o'clock start over at Neville Arena, and there are tickets available. I would assume there are plenty of tickets available. As a matter of fact, I got a notification today that there are some premium tickets available. Yesterday, when the announcement was made that that Auburn was in the NIT, came word from the athletic department that tickets would be available, and the only reserved seats for tomorrow night are in the premium levels, the scholarship donors and Tigers Unlimited contributors. Will have the only reserve seats. Everything else is general admission. So if you were a season ticket holder, I have had faculty staff season tickets for quite a few years. So those will just be general admission. So there have been, and there are apparently still plenty of tickets available. And you know, with a 9 o'clock weeknight start, you wonder exactly, you know, what is the response going to be. Stephen Pearl, when he opened up his press conference today, and we can probably find that and let you hear some of it here in a little bit, he mentioned that, yes, it is a busy, busy day tomorrow. Tomorrow is one of the rarest days because there is football, baseball, and basketball all tomorrow. It is the first day of spring football practice. Yeah, spring football practice bright and early tomorrow morning with temperatures probably in the 30s. For the first day. And then you've got baseball with a top five matchup. Georgia Tech coming in town to play over at Plains. After Auburn swept Missouri this weekend in Columbia, Georgia Tech coming in. That was to have been a 6 o'clock start. A couple of things. I mean, with a 6 o'clock start, it very likely would not have been over before the basketball game got started. The reason it was moved up is because of the weather and because of how cold it is going to be tomorrow. It's going to be very chilly. Hopefully the wind isn't blowing like it has been today. That would really make it even more uncomfortable. But it's a 4 o'clock first pitch tomorrow with Auburn and Georgia Tech. And then we have the 9 o'clock Auburn-South Alabama basketball game tomorrow night. So a very, very busy day tomorrow. I'll only make two out of three because we will be on the air tomorrow while the baseball is going on. So we'll just be able to keep you up with that. But yeah, so much to talk about and love to get your thoughts here on the Monday edition of The Drive. I'm checking to see if B-Matt is going to be in. Today, I mean, they may have been doing another rundown today, but we'll check with him. It's Monday, and you know, I'm always looking forward to his Monday musings. And Dan will be in at some point as well. So I will say the voice is doing better. Drew, you weren't here the other day. Drew's back at the controls today. I had a little bit of a sore throat thing going on last week, and it was feeling better Friday. But I didn't have much voice. And so, hey, we appreciate it. Don and I appreciate it. We got a good number of calls, so that's always helpful. The voice is back, but yes, could use a little help until we get some more reinforcements. Oh, here's B-Matt pulling in right there. So he will be in here momentarily. We'll get his thoughts on Auburn being in the NIT field. We'd love yours. You know, what do you think? How do you feel about Auburn playing in the NIT? I know it's obviously a disappointment when you don't make the NCAA tournament field. I can understand why a lot of folks are not, you know, not really excited about this. What Auburn needs to do is get in this tournament and play well. Because if they don't, then it'll really be a sour taste for the end of this season after that. Losing 9 of their last 12 coming down the stretch. Tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get to our first break, and we'll let Brian slide in, and we'll be back. Love for you to join us here on the Monday Drive, 334-321-1390, as we're just underway here on the Monday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews now joining me from AuburnSports.com. Drew's at the controls. Dan will be in at some point now. Don't know exactly the travel plans for Dan and the Troy women's basketball team. They're in the women's NIT, and they will be at Kansas on Thursday night. I was a little surprised. I thought they'd probably be hosting a first-round game. They had a really good season But they will be at Kansas on Thursday, so they'll be leaving sometime, I figure, you know, at the latest Wednesday. So I don't know how much we'll see of Dan this week, but we'll check in with him when he joins us. But B-Matt with us, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And Brian, it is it's been a crazy last 24 hours. I mean, yeah, with the the NCAA selection show, Auburn deciding to be in the NIT, and then winners come back.
Yeah, yeah, great. Thanks a lot.
Great timing for the. Yeah. I mean, you imagine
football
practice early tomorrow.
It's going to be
baseball. Yeah. At least baseball isn't tomorrow night now, right, but it's going to be pretty darn chilly. Yeah. I hope the wind's not blowing like it has been today.
I don't know.
Tomorrow, it's going to be cold out there. I'm looking forward though. I mean, looking forward to the first day of football. Just seeing what all these new guys look like, who's lined up where. I mean, there's a lot to be, you know, a lot to be interested in and following tomorrow morning.
This will be the most newsy spring, I think, just because a new coaching staff, number one, 80-plus players, number two, which is very, you know, unusual for
60
spring.
New ones.
Right, 60 yeah. new ones, and wide-open position battles all over the field, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there are very few players. I know Byron Brown's going to be starting quarterback. Obviously, yep. they got to earn it, right?
I feel like Byron Brown's your quarterback. Cole Best is your center. As far as the rest of the offense, Jeremiah Cobb, I think, probably is your starting tailback.
And the number one receiver is Koger, right? He was there. Was he their one? Or am I get that right? Or is it wrong?
Well, I'm thinking Neptune's a guy that could be Neptune. A number one guy because he was off to a great start at South Florida before he got hurt.
Oh, okay, okay. But you figure one or yeah. two or will be in there, but you don't know that for sure.
Right.
And then defensively, the defensive line is wide open.
Oh, yes.
Linebacker, well, okay, you got Xavier Atkins.
You've got a
yeah,
few guys.
Got some guys there.
I think it's linebacker.
And then secondary. Cornerback. Is wide open. Safety, nickel.
Safeties, you've got a lot of guys yeah. back.
Although they brought in some safeties.
Yes, they did.
And they brought in a really good nickel. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to play nickel from South Florida. So still some interesting things to watch there. So a lot to kind of unravel over the next month. Yeah, exactly a month. A month and a day.
Right.
Basically, as far as football goes. And then baseball, top five tonight. Is it three? It's three versus four.
Three versus four. Yep.
And then,
of course, didn't they lose? Oh, they lost a game over the weekend, didn't they?
One of three to Clemson.
Right.
And I don't know if that was in Atlanta or in Clemson. I'm not sure. And then this weekend, you've got number two Texas coming in.
Yep.
Texas, the defending SEC champs. You know, and Auburn is trying to win for the first time in 48 years. So this is a big series, even though it's early, even though
it's a huge week. It's a yeah. huge week for baseball. They got off to a really good start, though, in Como.
They did.
Pitching, again, just so lights
consistent.
Out.
It's so consistent, weekend after weekend. They just keep putting the three guys out there, and those three guys keep performing really, really well. Mm-hmm. The one bad inning that one of them's had, Jackson Sanders, the first inning, was it?
Was it Winthrop?
I can't remember who it was. It was second week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Week two.
Yeah.
And he bounces back and, you know,
yeah, he gave
shuts
up four runs in the first inning, didn't give up a run after that. And then the next week was SEC Pitcher of the Week.
Yes, exactly. So those guys have been just remarkable.
Jake Marciano, by the way, is the SEC Pitcher of the Week.
Co-Pitcher of the Week, yep.
Yep.
Now, Drew Whalen as.
Yeah, that's the tough news.
Yeah. It's a suspected, I guess is the right word now, UCL. Expect to have Tommy John surgery to correct that, but they were going to meet with doctors today. I don't have an update since that meeting, but that's the way it's looking. I think that was pretty clear. Whenever you see a pitcher do what he did on the mound,
yeah,
you almost 99% of the time
expect
you know exactly
it's going to be Tommy John, yeah. and that's a good year. I mean, that's usually a year plus.
Yeah, that's tough. He's a really talented young man, and he was performing a really big role for Auburn's baseball team. Out of the bullpen, and he was very capable of being a weekend starter
if
you needed him to be. So Griffin Graves is working his way back. He won't be available this week.
Yeah, no, that's the other thing. It's you worry about guys who are trying to come back, and they're still delayed a little bit. I mean,
it's been a month for him now.
Seen that through the years. A lot of times that just sort of lingers.
Yep.
They could really use him back now with Drew out, yeah. even though he's a lefty and Drew's a righty.
Yes, and the only thing I will say is because the starters are stretching out now and
they're
going six or seven innings.
Seven? What was it, at least seven for all three starters? If the lights hadn't gone out, I mean, who knows how much longer Jake would have gone.
Exactly. So you feel like you won't necessarily need the bullpen as much, but then again, you're playing SEC teams. You're playing a Georgia Tech team as a top five team.
You're probably
they may, pitching. I don't want to say it won't hold up, but it'll be a little bit more of a test for those guys.
Yeah, big challenge for Andreas Alvarez tomorrow against this Georgia Tech team. But he's pitched really well the last couple of times out. So we'll talk more baseball, but then obviously basketball is. Folks trying to get their brackets together, and we have a contest here on ESPN 106.7. We'll give you details on that as well. But Auburn. Accepting an NIT bid, they are the number one overall seed because Oklahoma turned it down.
Right, right. And it's interesting. I do not – and Auburn was the number two team out.
Right.
And I can't remember Auburn being this on the bubble like this before and being one of two teams out. Can you remember this scenario before? I can't either. So
no, it's either usually been in or they weren't in.
Yeah. There was a lot of hope some years, I think, but never this close and not getting in. And then, they had a decision to make on the NIT. But when you look at the situation, first-year coach, a brand-new team, basically, a team that did not perform well down the stretch, I don't think there's a lot to lose necessarily, right? I mean, people are
if you go out and lay an egg tomorrow night,
it won't be good, but a lot of people are already disappointed.
More of the same, right.
You're just continuing that, but there is an opportunity to maybe build some momentum into next year, into the offseason, maybe to have people feel better about Steven and the team and all that. So we'll see if they can take advantage of it.
Yeah, and the other thing is that if you win, you have an opportunity to play three home games.
Yes.
Since you're the top four seeds and Auburn's the number one seed, and get to play at home until they go to the Final Four.
Yep.
And so that is something very beneficial. And I thought Steven brought up a really good point when he was asked about the portal, saying they've been working on it, but it's much easier to be doing that while they're here. You know, they're not having to worry about travel plans and being away. They're able to come into the office and have their people, still trying to, go through, look at players that if they go into the portal, Auburn would be interested and those type things. So it's not going to affect them in their ability to be, getting ready for the portal opening on April the 7th. And, even if Auburn were to get all the way to the NIT title game, I believe the NIT championship's on the 5th.
Yeah.
So that's the day before the NCAA, before the Final Four ends. So we'll see. But the most interesting thing to me was – When Steven was asked about any possible opt-outs, he said, not that he knows of, but he said he hadn't seen the players since the NCAA selection show was done. But he said he hadn't gotten a call or a text from anyone, so he was assuming that everybody is going to be on hand.
And they were holding a close team practice today.
Yeah. Yeah, they were gonna have a meeting and practice starting at around 2:30.
Yep. And then tomorrow night, right? It's right into it.
Yeah, man, that's a quick turnaround, but it is for anybody that's playing. And 9 o'clock, I guess, as far as being able to get it on ESPN, that's when it's gonna be. It's gonna be.
I thought it was ESPN too.
You're right. But I mean, to get it on national TV, I guess that's. That's late, man. It is late game.
And I did not go to the was it LSU two weeks ago?
Yeah.
That was on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
But from what I heard and what I told, and from listening to the post game, the crowd was pretty good.
It was a pretty good crowd. I mean, there were some holes.
They're pretty into it, right?
Yeah.
So that tells me that the Auburn fans are still hungry because that was against the worst team in the SEC, and Auburn had lost, I guess, 7 of 8, some or 8 of 9 going into that game. Exactly what it was. I don't remember. But
yeah, it was 8 of 9.
Yeah. So I think there's an expectation, a reasonable expectation, that there could be some good ticket sales here. And Neville Arena could be reasonably filled with people excited about it. It's $25 general admission.
Yeah, I was going to say it's an opportunity for a lot of folks that haven't been able to go to be able to go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you haven't been able to get season tickets. Since it's general admission, it'll be, folks will be able to sit in the better seats.
That's right. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Quote unquote, it'd be really cool if the team shows up wanting to play and playing hard and getting after it, right? Because this is an opportunity. If you look at the bracket and you look at Auburn getting to play three home games and they keep winning, this is a definite opportunity for them to make a run to go to Indianapolis and play in the Final Four of the NIT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, it was brought up, and Steven talked about this, that, South Alabama's going to come in, you know. Yeah. Really fired up. I mean, looking to knock off an SEC team at their place, and they've got the conference player of the year, who's really unusual.
He's a 6'6 point guard.
He's a 6'6 point guard.
I haven't watched the playoffs.
But he's only taken 23 threes all year long, and he's their leading scorer. He averages 19 points a game. Yeah. Without even taking an average of 1 3 a game.
I think Steven said something to the fact that he likes to bully.
Yeah, he said he played a lot of bully ball.
Yeah, bully ball, that was it. So that's kind of a concern, I guess, but.
Auburn has had problems with guys that drive, physical. You know, guards that can take the ball to the hoop.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how they decide to defend him. Maybe they could put KO on him.
Yeah, I would think you definitely would. He's 6'5". Yeah.
Right. Instead of putting Tahad on him and them having that natural mismatch, so to speak. I don't want to diss anybody, but you know.
Oh yeah.
6'1", right?
Maybe.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to watch tomorrow night. But it's going to be a big day tomorrow. Practice in the morning. We'll have blowout coverage of that, of course. Baseball at 4:00, and then Auburn or Neville after dark at 9:00. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, late night. Late night at Neville. Yeah, there's no question. All right, we'd love for you to join us. Give us your thoughts. I mean, how do you feel about Auburn accepting the NIT bid? I sort of had mixed feelings. Again, I wondered the same thing. I mean, I wondered, are they going to have the whole roster? Because if they don't have the whole roster, they're at a big disadvantage there, because Auburn's not a deep team. They only played 7 players anyway. If one or two of those guys decided, that's okay, I've had enough basketball for the year. I mean, it would be very disappointing that a player would do that when you have an opportunity to get out and play another game. We had somebody the other day, Brian, say, well, could you dock their pay? No, I don't think so. I don't think it works that way. It's not.
I do think they're starting to structure those contracts now.
Oh, I think you. I think
as
you
they've
have
learned
to.
Lessons, right? They're changing a little bit, so I think they'll be in situations, and maybe some of them are. I don't know, but going forward, where they have to play or they lose money if they don't play.
It makes sense because I mean that's been something that you do worry about. And I mean, you've seen it in football where teams go, look, got too many players opting out, we can't play in a bowl game, can't field the team that we want in the bowl game. But we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about Auburn being in the NIT? Are you gonna are you gonna go? How do you feel about this situation? Anything, though, that you want to talk about? Love to talk some folks about baseball or looking forward to the start of spring football practice as well. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Sky Bar. Brian's in, so I'm sure there's a Monday musing that we'll get to a little later on as well. We'll probably wait for Dan to get in and see which one of us can if either one of us can get it.
I think you will definitely get it, and this is a repeat.
Oh, so this is an older? This is.
Well, I mean, hey, you could say the same for me, right?
Yeah, I hear you. So. All right, well, good. Yeah, I have not seen it today, so I don't know what it is. But, yeah, we're looking forward to that as well. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com, Drew at the controls. Dan will be joining us in a little while. Just got another notification from the athletics department that there are some premium tickets available for tomorrow night. Looks like you can get courtside seats on the second row behind the South Alabama bench for $75. There are other tickets there courtside all along that side of the court. So you can get some really good seats, and those include access to the lounge where you get complimentary food, non-alcoholic beverages, cash bar, parking pass as well. And I think those are going for around $75. The general admission tickets are $25.
Yeah.
So that's pretty reasonable. We got one. I usually have two season tickets, and I'll usually sit in one of the seats. But one of the sons or somebody usually will use the other ticket. But hey, if they want to go, they can get their tickets now.
That's
since
right.
Our general admission, we could all sit together.
That's right.
334-321-1390. Bill and Brian here in the studio. Love to hear from you. What do you think about Auburn being in the NIT? Your thoughts on anything, though, going on in the world of sports. And let's get to the phones. And Greg is up first. Hey, Greg.
How y'all doing today, boys?
All right.
Man, I got a question about this, the NIT. I know with the way everything's kind of gone to the NIL, is that going to be anything to possibly deposit from NIL, like ticket sales or anything, or is that all just lumped into anything? Do you know anything about that?
I don't believe it is. Now, there is the other tournament that is still there. The CBI is gone.
Yeah.
But there's the college there's another one like a CBC or something, and it is NIL based. So that's one I think that has a chance of if the NIT doesn't get in line with that, you're liable to see teams, if they don't make the NCAA tournament, be much more interested in playing in something that adds to their NIL as opposed to playing in the NIT.
Okay, the NCAA tournament, it does have NIL properties to it.
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
At least not at this time. I mean, things can change quickly. And, you know, there's a lot, there's still so much gray area because you take the CSC, the new commission that's supposed to look over NIL deals now. There are several schools. I know Nebraska's one. That some of the deals have been turned down and they're either threatening or they're going to arbitration, or if that doesn't work out, they could sue and just blow the whole thing up again. So we're just in this time frame now where they set up these rules, but these rules aren't backed up necessarily by laws. And when a school disagrees with the decision with these rules, they just kind of, you know, blow it up or whatever, and then we move on to the next step.
I got you.
That's
going to lead me into my second part of
right.
Question, and I'm going to get off of here and kind of listen to your response. Speaking of smart money, you know, I'm seeing they got Auburn, you know, 6.5 wins possibly next year. I want to kind of get y'all's input, kind of what y'all think. I can see a path to 7. I got my probably 7 that I would say. But you know, then we're going to have to steal one. But I think that, you know, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss. But then again, you know, they're not giving Ole Miss a lot of love. I think they're only giving them about 7.5. I want to know, you know, what y'all think about that. But I also want to know, when is the last time that you think Auburn had great to elite coaching in football? I'm gonna give you, you know. My thing is, you know, good coaching, great coaching, elite coaching. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to say, you know, the championship run, 13, I'm going to call that good to great coaching there. I think we had some balls bounce away that year. I think we had, minus some injuries, Stidham's, what would that have been, his junior year, I guess?
You had
a championship defense. Couldn't really get it going, which Book was kind of out on the offense at that point, it seemed. Compared to what we got and everything, what we've had, when do you think, you know, do y'all agree on that, good to great? When is the last time you think we had good to great coaching? And if we get good to great coaching out of this, you know, this staff with a guy that seems to have overachieved at times in his career, the work ethic that we're hearing about. I'm just, you know, I don't want to I'm always going to hope, you know, expect the the best, but expect the worst, hope for the best. Never be depressed in a sense. That's kind of become my mantra for an Auburn fan as of late. But you know, I like his work ethic. I kind of want to get y'all's idea on that. So I mean, what y'all think if we just got good to great coaching with the talent we have? So I'm gonna get off, guys. Hey, War Eagle.
That's an
good hearing from you,
question.
Greg.
Really interesting, because if you look at the talent, I mean, Auburn could have one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I mean, that's objectively true, right?
He's a guy that led the nation in total offense last year.
Right. I mean,
and he is very familiar, knows this system, and he knows a lot of the players that he's going to be playing with. I mean, he's got most of his receivers from last year's South Florida team with him.
And they brought in some tight ends that have been successful.
Much
more successful than the previous tight ends we had. When has Auburn had a group of running backs as quote unquote talented as they have for this season?
You go back to Cadillac and Ronnie and Brandon Jacobs and Trey Smith.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's how far back you got to go to find this many talented running backs, right? And then defensively, you feel like this may be one of the most talented linebacker groups Auburn's had in a long time.
And I just feel like a DJ Durkin defense is going to be very solid. And you brought in two other SEC defensive coordinators from last year.
Right.
So, I mean,
the question is that the D-line and O-line, right?
That's right. Line of scrimmage.
Know. They got the numbers.
I am encouraged. I'm optimistic about the offensive line just because they've got guys that have played those positions and have – now, can they come in and be a cohesive unit?
I don't know.
You got a couple of guys. You got the two Coles. Best and Skinner, who played, for Coach Hoodie at South Florida last year, and I already understand that system. Then you bring in Stanton Ramil, who's been a left tackle at a power, power four school, starting left tackle, and you brought in a couple of guys who've been starting right tackles. Right. So I mean, you appear to have the pieces there. Yeah. You know, can you get them to fit?
I think in answer to the question, if the talent is what we think it is, right? And when we think, I say the positive look at it, right? Not necessarily the, you know, we're not really sure. I'm not sure about those tackles, even though you mentioned.
You're right.
But if let's say,
but it still should be an upgrade over what Auburn had this past year.
Certainly could be for sure. I think this team can definitely exceed 6.5 wins.
I think so too.
But I don't want to get too far ahead because it's a program that's lost
five consecutive losing seasons.
But this is the spring, and this is time to have more hope and have more.
If you're not
positivity.
Optimistic in the spring, it's going to be a rough fall. I can tell you that. There's no question. But I'll say this though, Auburn may not be on paper as talented a roster. They may not have as talented a roster as last year because there were guys at the top last year who may be more talented than the top players on this team, but I feel like that Alex Golish and his staff have done an amazing job of filling in the holes, and it looks like it may be a deeper roster than we've seen at Auburn for a while.
Quarterback and wide receiver are great examples. I mean, well, Byron Brown is obviously more talented than any quarterback Auburn had since Bo Nix, but the wide receiver room, I think it's less talented as far as NFL talent.
Yeah.
But it has a chance to be way more productive just because you've got the guys with the experience.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it may not it doesn't mean it's going to not be as productive, doesn't translate.
Right.
Because look, there was tremendous potential that I think, you know, wasn't reached in quite a few cases from some players. So we'll see, and it's not all on the players. That they didn't all reach that either. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. But I agree. I think this team and look, they're only, I mean, as we said, with 60 new players, that tells you you've only got 30 carryover players from last year.
Not many.
No. So, I mean, it's not like there's a lot of guys who have never been part of a winning program here.
that's
something I worry about, though. Yeah. When you have year after year after year of losing,
you get used to it. Yeah.
It's sometimes tough to get out of that until you have a big makeover, and you've got a big makeover.
As big a makeover
on this roster
as I've ever seen, for sure.
Yeah, we've seen too many of these. It's like look at football did it, and then basketball had to bring in 10 players this year. Yeah. That's something. Back to basketball, that Stephen Pearl does not need to do. He doesn't need to be having to be bringing in 9 or 10 new players for
next
year. Not
unless he's got a $20 million roster he can go get.
Oh, yeah. Go out and get an All-Star
$2 million
squad.
A piece, right? Yeah.
Just bring in the All-Stars.
Which is not going to happen, obviously.
Not here. No. But yeah, so we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Bill and Brian, Dan is on his way. He'll be joining us. Give us your thoughts on the basketball situation. Would you have opted to play in the NIT? I understand Stephen's thinking is, look, I mean, he wants to try to get that bad taste out of his mouth and have these guys, he knows they're talented enough to get out there and play with anybody, and they ought to be the most talented team in the NIT. I mean, look, they do have wins over Florida and St. John's and Arkansas and NC State. That a lot of these teams, there aren't many teams playing in the NIT that have any wins like that.
That's right. So the thing for Auburn is, can they get up for it?
That's right.
And can they play with that intensity they need to play on defense? That's been the question all season with these guys.
And Brian, we haven't really talked since the SEC tournament.
Right.
But I thought in the Mississippi State game and for the first 30 minutes of the Tennessee game, that was as good as Auburn had played defensively
in
a long time, maybe as good as they played defensively all year.
I agree. And one thing that Pearl mentioned about the Tennessee game is how they doubled every
yeah, he said they stopped track. They stopped screening.
Yeah.
And Tennessee adjusted and stopped screening
had more success with it. But yes. But yes, for 30 minutes. That was as good as defensive Auburn played all season, and then Tennessee just went on that run and just buried them. Yeah.
Yep, and part of that was Auburn's inability on offense there as well. 334-321-1390. We'll get to John before we get to our final break of hour number one. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Happy Monday. So I was thinking back, kind of historically with Auburn basketball, and I don't remember a lot of seasons, particularly before the last two, where Auburn played a challenging non-conference. And I went back and looked at 92-93, which I think was Tommy Joe Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, you only had about 8 preseason games. But that year, 3 of our preseason games were Louisiana College, Centenary, and Lincoln Memorial. And it's amazing to contrast what that looks like compared to what our non-con looked like this year. And I feel like we overscheduled and
no question,
and just didn't have confidence even going into conference season.
I don't know that really seemed to carry over, because early on in conference play, Auburn looked pretty good. Remember, they were 5-3 the end of January in the SEC. But I do agree that it was overscheduled for what Auburn returned. And look.
But Bruce, they had to do this ahead of time.
But Bruce knew that they weren't bringing back many players,
right?
Because you had so many, like 8 of the top 10 players on last year's team were out of eligibility. And then you could have brought back Tahad and Chad. That was pretty much it. You were going to have to build around those two. So if you're bringing in 9 or 10 players, probably should have scaled back a little bit on
maybe
the schedule.
Just a little bit.
Take a couple of those teams off. And you know what? If you take a couple of those, either Michigan or Arizona or Purdue or Houston, take 2 of those off the schedule and replace them with, a couple of in-state teams that you can beat, I bet Auburn's in the tournament. I bet Auburn's in the tournament, even going 7-11 in the conference, if they are 19-14 instead of 17-16,
I think
they would
really
have been
point.
In the tournament.
Yeah.
And Bill, the one last point I'll make on it, and I'll make it quick. If this is 2 years in a row, the SEC by KenPom or whomever has been the top conference, top 2 conference in the country. If you take our obligations with ACC, SEC Challenge and all that, you've got enough of a body of work that if you wanted to go easy and get extra home games, which could help you with NIL, you probably could. You'd probably come out advantageous.
Yeah, now, the schedule Auburn played this year is very, you know, it's much more conducive to last year's roster than this year's roster. If you have an experienced team that you feel like, man, we ought to make a deep run and have a shot at the Final Four, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with playing this kind of schedule because you feel like you're going to split at worst and you're going to go in as a pretty high seed. You know, you split those and you don't run into the problems that you did in the league. Then you're going to go in as a 2-3, you know, 4 seed at the lowest.
Right. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, John. It's good stuff. All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join us, 334-321-1390, here on the Monday Drive. Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday. And caller was asking a little while ago about postseason, and I said he was asking about NIL. And I knew I'd heard of one, and I had to find the name. It's the College Basketball Crown, which started last year as a 16-team tournament that ran from the last of March till early April. This year, it's an 8-team field that starts April 1st. It's going to be played at the MGM Grand, and it is an NIL tournament, an NIL postseason tournament. Now, what's interesting is 6 of the 8 spots in it are already auto-filled, it says, according to a USA Today report. The Big East, Big Ten, and Big 12 are obligated to send their top 2 teams that don't make the NCAA tournament determined by net ranking. So you've got 6 teams, and right now it looks like Seton Hall and Providence from the Big East. It says if Providence doesn't participate because of a coaching change, Creighton would be next up. Indiana and Washington from the Big Ten, and Cincinnati and Baylor from the Big 12. So that just leaves 2 teams, and there has been some buzz that Oklahoma and Florida State, who are the other top teams left out of the NCAA tournament field, are interested. Sure, I mean, if you get a chance to take home $500,000 in NIL, I can
those
see that
players are returning.
Yeah,
right.
And you're playing in Vegas for like 3 games in Vegas. Anyway, so that's the other possibility of postseason. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the drive hotline. And Philly Fanatic is up next.
Hello.
Hey, man.
You remember last week? I said that I think Auburn was headed to NIT, and you said, "Well, they need 20 wins," and I knew that was not going to happen.
Right.
But anyway, so I'm not sure what the new GM of Auburn basketball is going to be, but I'm going to play like I am the new GM, and I would tell you what I think Auburn needs to do in order to get their 20 wins next year.
All right.
And I want to put because Brian's there, I want to put a song in each time I say it.
All right, cool.
Okay? So, all right. So I would stop with the coaching, start. And I would say the offensive coach is really ineffective. He's been inept. No movement, no spacing, no pick and rolls, no screenings. These are things that I learned on the streets of Philadelphia, and that's the boss.
Yep.
And then I would say, for him, I would say Linda Ronstadt. He's no good. He's so good. He's really not good. And then I would say Fleetwood Mac for
him.
Man,
Burgo taking some shots here.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna go here with Fleetwood Mac, and I'd say go your own way, Sam.
Okay.
All right, so here we go now. The defensive coach. They need a defensive coach because they've got Pearl, and he is the head coach. What happened when we had Freeze when he was the offensive coach? He couldn't do both, right?
No, he could not.
All right, so we need a defensive coach, and here's the kind of defense I want to see, okay? When a person goes off, like we saw with Hubbard, at least in the first game, and scores 5 or 6 three-pointers at the beginning, right? You don't wait until after the first half when he has 25 points to guard him in the second, double-team him.
No.
So when you have a player that's that good and he's doing all the shooting, you go into what is called a time when you're going to play 4 guys on like the zone, and you're going to have one guy.
Like a box and one. Yeah. Hey, Joe, we are out of time here. Love to have you continue, but we've got to get to our top of the hour break.
Call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at espnau.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews here in the studio. Dan should be in at some point. We'll find out his schedule for the rest of the week. I know that the Troy women play at Kansas on Thursday in the women's NIT. Auburn opting to accept an invitation to the NIT. They are the number one overall seed in the NIT tournament, and they will play tomorrow night at 9 o'clock against the South Alabama Jaguars. So that is a late night over at Neville. And, Brian, Auburn's got some other incentives. They've got, first of all, tickets available for folks that haven't been able to see a ball game or had sometimes pay exorbitant prices just to get in and get a standing room only ticket.
Very true.
There are ticket general admission tickets available for $25, and all but the premium areas are going to be general admission. Yep. So, you know, get on over there and get yourself a pretty good seat for $25 a pop.
And at basketball domestic brews are $5.
That is a deal.
But before you come there, if you want to do some pregame,
you can get some serious pregame action in starting at 4 o'clock with baseball.
Beers are $2.50 at Plainsman Park, and hot dogs are $1.25.
That's like a happy hour.
Yes,
it's happy hour at Plainsman Park tomorrow with $2.50 domestics. Yeah, and $1.25 hot dogs.
I may not be in the press box tomorrow.
$1.25 hot dogs.
I may just hang out with all the cool people in the stands.
Trying to stay warm, Brian. I can understand that. I mean, your seat is not inside.
No. Well, I can move inside.
You can move inside. I know. You may tomorrow. I don't doubt that. But that's a big ball game tomorrow, Georgia Tech coming in, a top five matchup. I believe these will be the two highest matchups in Auburn baseball history at Plainsman Park.
Yes, and then that will be superseded.
Well, that's
Friday.
What I'm saying. The two.
Yeah, yeah.
This one, and then, but it is the two.
But Georgia Tech is the
biggest until this weekend.
Yes, that's the way I read it. Yeah. Yep. That's crazy.
Yeah. How about that? I mean, Auburn baseball off to a 17-2 start. They've now won 10 in a row, and 3-0 in the conference. So, I mean, that's tomorrow. It was originally scheduled for 6, has been moved back to 4 o'clock, as much for the weather as to not be running into basketball as well.
Both are good reasons to move it in my
opinion. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The baseball team's been playing terrific. That's the first road sweep to start SEC play in 16 years since 2010, and that 2010 team was really good. That was Hunter Morris, SEC Player of the Year team. Which set the Auburn record with home runs in a season. So that's how far back you have to go. I believe – I can't remember who that team swept that year. Was it South Carolina? I guess I can go check. But
I don't know. I don't remember.
It's been a minute for sure. Been a long minute. I was certainly covering that team, but I do not remember who it was. It was South Carolina. Yeah, it was South Carolina.
How about that?
Yep. Nope, that's not right. Georgia. It was Georgia. Beat Georgia 20-3, 4-3, and 19-3.
Yes, when Georgia was bad. And we wondered, how can Georgia be this bad because of the talent that there is in the state of Georgia?
That was the year South Carolina won the national championship.
Title. Yeah, with Ray Tanner.
And then Auburn swept Georgia, and then and that was at Georgia, this road sweep. And then came home, and then South Carolina won 2 out of 3. That was a really, really, really good South Carolina team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, national champs. Yep. So that's going on tomorrow. And oh, by the way, early tomorrow, it is the start of spring football practice for Alex Golish and the 2026 Tigers.
Here we go.
Yeah,
I'm
really, really looking forward to just seeing, what the guys look like. I mean, I've seen some clips on some of the players. But haven't really had a chance to see a lot of them. So looking forward to it, seeing how they get out there. And I really want to see how I expect there to be a change in the offensive practice philosophy.
Yeah, yeah. If you went out to practice the last few years and you saw DJ Durkin's defensive side and the offensive side,
it looked like two completely different
teams.
You're absolutely right.
In a lot of ways. So, and that kind of looked the same way on the field in the fall.
Yep.
So you would hope that maybe they look like a one team out there and not just two separate teams.
Yeah, so that gets started tomorrow. So there will be a lot of news tomorrow, a lot of things going on tomorrow on another brisk day. It's going to be cold tonight, and I don't think it's going to be a whole lot warmer tomorrow. It doesn't look like it's going to really warm up much until Friday. Looks good, though, for the weekend against Texas.
That'd be nice.
I think as I was checking the long-range forecast, highs in the upper 70s, I think, on Friday.
So a couple of cold days, and then starts warming back up.
Yep.
73, 77, 78. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the current.
That'd be fine.
We'll take that.
Yeah, take it in a minute. That, no question. All right, we'd love for you to join us, 334-321-1390. One thing we did not mention in the first hour, we talked a good bit about basketball, though, and Auburn being in the NIT. We talked a little bit about the CBC, which I wasn't as familiar with it, the Crown Basketball what was it called? The Crown Basketball Classic? Anyway, there are eight teams in it this year, and it's going to be in Las Vegas. The College Basketball Crown is what it is, College Basketball Crown. It takes this year eight teams that don't make the NCAA tournament, and it is an NIL-based tournament. Of course, the Players Era out in Vegas, which Auburn was in this past year, was an NIL tournament, and right. It is really growing. I mean, it doubled in size. This one here, a little different because, I mean, there's so many teams. You're not going to opt out of the – you're not going to not take an NCAA tournament bid.
Right.
But there are teams that have turned down. Oklahoma, it turns out, turned down an NIT bid, and they are going to be in the College Basketball Crown.
Makes a lot of sense.
Three teams from the Big 12. Let's see. The field is – West Virginia, Stanford, Creighton, Rutgers, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Colorado, and Baylor. Yeah. So, I mean, some names in there.
Definitely.
I can see where teams would go, yeah, why not? Let's go to Vegas and play three games and see if we can make some money.
Yeah, especially if you got a lot of those players coming back, right? Because these tournaments that offer you NIL, you want to use that as a, hey, we're playing the players era next year. Come here, and you're going to get even more money playing in that, you know, depending on where you finish, right?
Or, yeah, and now if you got players coming back, you go, well, let's go ahead and play in that, and that'll be more money for you if you come back next year with us.
Let's go ahead and sign that contract now before we go out to Las Vegas, right?
That's right. Well, to assure you get a piece of the pie.
That's right.
The thing we did not get to in hour number one, speaking of basketball, was the other news that came out from in-state today, and that was – Aiden Holloway being arrested early this morning in Tuscaloosa after a task force used a search warrant to search his premises and found over a pound of marijuana paraphernalia. And this afternoon, Alabama releasing a statement that they didn't say Aiden Holloway's name. They said the student has been removed from campus.
Yeah, that's whatever.
Well, I think that does answer. I mean, there had been some questions. I was on with Doug a little earlier today, and I mean, I know he was extremely concerned that Nate Oates was going to play Aiden Holloway. I don't think you can do it if he's not enrolled. If he is suspended from school, then he will not be allowed to play, I guess, unless they go find a judge.
Yeah,
that says that's not fair.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, that's
a big blow for Alabama. Yeah. I mean, it really is. So that is the news from there today, as they get ready as a four seed in the NCAA tournament. They still ought to win their opening game, I would think. I haven't really even broken down the field, gotten into it, and looked at it that strongly yet. I mean, I'll do a bracket, always. I'm probably going to go a lot more chalk than usual. I just feel like the best teams in the country are the best teams in the country. There's a big gap between the top half dozen teams and most everybody else.
This is one where I think it was a few years ago we got all the number ones to the Final Four for the first time in a long time, or I don't remember exactly what the stat was, but I feel like this could be another one of those type of years.
Oh, yeah. We'd love your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. How do you feel about Auburn accepting an NIT bid? We still don't know for sure. Stephen Pearl said today that he really hadn't seen the players. This was before practice when we had a little time with him at 2 o'clock this afternoon. He said he hadn't seen the players since the NCAA selection show, but he hadn't gotten a call or a text from anyone saying they weren't planning on playing. And, you know, some people may go, what are you talking about? It'd just be very similar to football players who have opted out of bowl games here in the past.
Right.
So, I mean, it's something that is possible. And, I'm sure Steven's counting on having everybody available, because with the 7-man rotation Auburn had, it'd be tough if you lost a player or two from that. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Again, give us a call. Give us your thoughts on if you want to talk a little bit about the big dance, if you want to talk about the NIT and Auburn being in it. Are you excited about the start of spring football practice tomorrow? How about baseball, though? We'll talk a little more baseball. We'll go ahead and get to our first break, and we'll talk some more about baseball and the Auburn sweep over Missouri this past week as they get ready for a huge week with Georgia Tech coming in tomorrow afternoon and then the Texas Longhorns. Auburn will host the numbers 2 and 3 teams this week, with Tech number 3 and Texas number 2 coming in. The Tigers are number 4. So, yep. I mean, how about that, the matchups this week in baseball? So we'll get to our first break of hour number 2. Come on in and join us here in hour number 2 of the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Pearl. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Again, 334-321-1390. Love for you to join us here on this Monday edition of the Drive. Brian, want to talk a little baseball again. I mean, we mentioned it briefly early in the show, but just the job that this pitching staff has done, especially starting pitchers, has just been phenomenal. I mean, they just continually go out and shut the opposition down. Over the weekend, all 3 starters going at least 7 innings. I mean, when you look at some of the numbers, I mean, Auburn leading the nation in strikeout to walk ratio, fewest walks per 9 innings, 2nd in the nation in ERA, 2nd in the nation in WHIP. I mean, and the starting pitchers,
amazing
for the season thus far. And I know we're just past the quarter pole, but still, 19 games in, have a 1.81 ERA and have struck out 141 and walked just 18 in 104 2/3 innings.
And just last week, Auburn's pitching staff had a 1.29 ERA. The starters had a 0.67 ERA in 26.2 innings.
That is just that's insane. It's insane. It is. Yeah. I mean, those are like rigged video game numbers. And they're going to be, I mean, it'll be a challenge again. I mean, look, it's a big challenge this week. Georgia Tech coming in, they're 17-3. What is the matchup there? Oh yeah. Okay. Here's your midweek matchup. Dre Alvarez is 2-1 with a 1.37.
Sounds pretty good. Yep.
Yeah. And they will start a redshirt freshman, Dimitri Angelikos, who's 1-0 with a 1.38.
So it's good. Hopefully,
don't look for a lot of runs on a cold day.
Probably good. Best thing you can hope for, right?
Oh,
yeah. Just quick, fast pitching.
That's right. Yeah, get a couple of runs. And
Some more stats for you on that. Okay. Starting rotation all turn in 7 or more innings for the first time in a series, 3-game series, since April 25th through 26th, 2014 at Arkansas.
Wow. That I would have thought it might have been longer ago than that.
Yep.
So, because, I mean, to get all three of your weekend starters to do that, a lot of times, even some of the best teams know who two of their starters are, yeah. and it's just, you know, whatever you have left on Sunday.
Well,
you know, the old Johnny Holstaff.
For the last, it feels like 4 to 5 years, Auburn has had maybe one definitive starter, one
right.
or two, and you're trying to figure out who's going to be.
You know.
Yeah. And not this year.
I mean, look, it's been from the opening series yep. of the season, the same three guys have gone out there and pitched
and the
so
same
well. That's yep. right.
Same four guys, really. And you've got at least two or three guys that are ready, if called upon, if needed, to step in and be a starter too, that mm-hmm. you feel good about. You know?
And what I felt preseason was, well, the bats are going to have to carry this team early.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, it's been pitching, even though the hitting has come around. Now, look,
yes.
Missouri starters Friday and Saturday were pretty darn – they looked pretty darn good, too.
They did. I think that's going to be interesting to see because I didn't like Auburn's approaches in some cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt like Missouri was bringing it pretty good.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that carries through the
right.
season. Yeah,
because yeah, Missouri trying to move up from the bottom of the league last year, and they'd been off to a really good start. They were 15-2 something coming in on a 13-game winning streak. But two very tight ball games, you know, the Friday night and then the opener of the first game of the doubleheader, you know, it runs were at such a premium, and Auburn was able to win, you know, a very low-scoring game and then an extra inning game before the bats finally came alive. Good to see Todd Clay with a three-hit game.
Yeah, that was wonderful to see. Got the start on Sunday, had a really big game there. You know, and that's what Auburn needs.
As a matter of fact, Todd and Kay.
I mean, Saturday,
and,
the Saturday yeah, second
the,
game.
The
yeah.
second game of the doubleheader, Todd had three hits, and Kay Ballou had two.
Yep.
A couple of the guys that had been off to slow starts, and Lucas Steele hit a homer.
Yep. So three guys with slow starts. You've had some freshmen and redshirt freshmen step up and fill those roles, but you felt like at some point those guys.
Oh, you. I knew those guys. It just you need to get the confidence. That's the thing when you're in a slump. Sometimes it's hidden. If you get off to a good start,
yep.
and it's you know you're 30 games in, you go into a slump for a few games, and it's not as noticeable. It's real obvious. It's really tough to come to the plate. Look. Fortunately, we didn't have any electronic scoreboards or anything back when I was playing. I mean, and so they didn't flash your batting average up there. But I'm thinking, you know, I knew what my batting average was when I was in Little League and stuff like that. I mean, it's like if you get off to a slow start and you're like, you know, 1-for-12 and you look up and you see an 0.83 batting average or something like that. Oh, it's terrible. And you start and you can't help but press. You want to hit, you know, three homers every at bat.
Oh yeah.
And when you start doing that, you're liable to extend it more. So I mean, good to see both of them, well all three of those guys starting to come out of it. This is an offense I think that is it's going to be really tough to shut this team down because there's so much depth in it, you know, wherever you are in the lineup.
Yep. And Chris Rembert hasn't really got
going yet,
and you know that's coming eventually, right? Bristol Carter is banged up, so I think one of the reasons Auburn was not as productive during the weekend was just because of his injury.
Yeah, he can't get on base and he creates right. so much havoc when he gets right. on base.
And as we talked about, some veterans, you know, they're going to come around too. So this offense has the potential to be much, much better as the season moves forward.
Yeah, we were asked the other day, Brian, what is the weakness of this team? And I said, you know, right now it's just getting consistency out of the bullpen. Right now,
right.
I mean, it hasn't really cost them
yeah.
a lot, but I mean, you've seen.
There's no Blake Burkhalter on this roster at the moment, at least that you see. Maybe like a shutdown, but they've got two guys closing right now, and when they're on, they're really effective.
Yeah, but Garrett and Ryan have been a little
yeah.
up and down.
Yeah, they have. Been.
So I mean,
yeah.
you'd love to get them just you know rolling. But I mean, that's about the only thing I see. I mean, this
yep.
team's played; they're playing really solid defense. They've made we've seen some great plays both in the infield and in the outfield. I mean, seen some a couple of great throws.
Yes,
and
Bub
plays.
Terrell was above.
Yeah, it was Bub. Yep.
Mason's got a great arm in right field. Kay Ballou, I think it was last week that he made
yeah,
that. Great Cade catch.
Made that unbelievable, parallel to the ground
yes.
catch. That,
yes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they've got a lot of great pieces. They got depth, best pitching staff they've had in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just it's going to be fun to see how much better they can get as the season goes on and how competitive they can be and if they can compete for an SEC championship.
Yeah, I mean, because this league is loaded again. I mean, it once again, without question, the best in the country. And what a fun week this is going to be with Georgia Tech and Texas coming in. So if you get a chance, head to the ballpark. Going to be chilly, even though it's tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. You want to make sure you take plenty of clothes and a
yes.
blanket.
Yeah, blankets probably good up there. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's always sort of cool at Plainsman Park until like May.
Yeah.
I don't know, and then it gets hot.
Yep.
It gets really hot. So, yeah, be prepared for that. But, yeah, that's going on. And then Texas coming in this weekend. Again, 334-321-1390. I mentioned a little while ago that we've got the March Mayhem going on that should be up and available. You should be able to go to AUNetwork.com and get in on the bracket challenge there. Speaking of the NCAA tournament, of course, Thursday and Friday are two of the most fun days in sports. The first 2 days of the NCAA tournament with basketball wall to wall from 11 o'clock in the morning until midnight. We won't be on quite that long, but I mean, we do have, you know, the 7 straight hours of local sports talk here on ESPN 106.7. And this Friday, we're going to be, all the shows going to be out at the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge at Midtown.
Nice.
Brought to you by Sensegreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation for air that's cool and clean. Get HVAC smart and call Sensegreen. So, yeah, we'll be out there starting with Doug and the Max Roundtable from 11 to 2, followed by On the Line 2 to 4, and then we'll be there with the drive 4 to 6. Some great giveaways from Sensegreen and ESPN 106.7, drink specials from the Plaza Bar and Lounge, and a good time for everybody. So looking forward to that. A little programming note on Thursday, the Max Roundtable will be on here on ESPN 106.7. It's going to be interesting because it won't be on the normal originating station on the ticket over in Montgomery because that's the flagship station of Troy. And, of course, our buddy Barry will be calling Troy as they take on Nebraska. We were just talking about Nebraska just a little while ago. Nebraska was the winner of the college basketball crown a year ago.
Okay.
And this year, much better in making the NCAA tournament field. And they've got Troy in their first game on Thursday at 11:40. So Doug will be originating the Max Roundtable from ESPN 106.7 on Thursday. All right, we'll go ahead and we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We're going to get to Brian's Monday musings. We'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, your thoughts on Auburn being in the NIL, do you think that was a wise decision to do that? What would you have done had you had that opportunity? If you want to give us some thoughts on the NCAA tournament, do you have a dark horse? Like, who's the 12 or 13 that you like? I guess a lot of folks are going to say Hofstra now because that's who Alabama's got without Aiden Holloway most likely in their opener. Baseball, football, it's all going on. We'd love to hear from you on the Monday Drive.
7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Sun shining now. Sun's out a little bit. I mean, that's better than it was earlier. When I was on the way over to Stephen Pearl's press conference, it was sleeting.
That's
down
crazy.
In South Auburn. Did you see Ted's picture?
Mm-mm. I didn't see it.
Ted Feeley showed us a picture on his phone of his backyard in Birmingham this morning.
Wow.
Snow.
Yeah.
Snow.
My mother-in-law, their house up there in clay was covered in snow too. Yeah,
he said he'd just cut the grass over the weekend. he cut the grass Saturday and it snows Monday.
Wow.
That's how crazy this time of year can be. I mean, We've had snow later than this. We've had snow in April, but I was getting used to that 75, 80 degrees that we were having just about every day.
What day was the blizzard of 93 or 94, whatever it was? Do you remember? It was 94.
It was. I think it was around this time or a little later. I can recall a couple of times where we've had snow in
93. Okay.
We've had snow around
March
Easter.
March 12th.
Yeah, okay. It was almost exactly this time of year. So
13 to 17 inches. Yeah, I remember that. It was wild. I was in Montgomery at the time.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was. So that's just the way it is. I mean, now the sun's out. It's going to be cold, though, tonight and for the next couple of nights. But as we looked a while ago, it looks like it's going to warm back up in time for baseball this weekend, which is good. Going to be odd to have the first few days of spring football practice. It's going to be pretty darn chilly.
Well, you know, they talk about being out in shorts and the first day, but I'm not sure they'll actually be in shorts. Maybe sweatpants or something. But yeah, won't be full pads. But
no. First couple of days, you can't go full pads.
But maybe young people tend to wear shorts more often than I would.
I will be wearing sweatpants.
Yes, I will.
I'm telling you that tomorrow.
I will be wrapped up for sure. I don't know how long they're going to let us be out there, but I will be wrapped up.
Yeah, that's something we really don't know yet. You know what the opportunities are going to be for us. I mean, we do know when you know what is scheduled here early on, but we don't know how much of practices and things like that we'll be able to see. So yeah, we've got Golish after practice tomorrow?
I think it's Golish and players.
Golish and players like at 10:30 or something like that after practice tomorrow.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So yeah, first day of spring football tomorrow morning. A busy, busy day on campus. 334-321-1390. Oh, I did see one other little news item from earlier today. Charles Bediako dropping his lawsuit against the NCAA.
Hmm.
So some news out of Tuscaloosa.
Is there any guards they can pick up out of the G League for a late run here?
Yeah, I don't know. I see ESPN is reporting that Aiden Holloway will not play for Alabama in the NCAA tournament. Which is understandable since he's been removed from campus and suspended from the university. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Pat is up next. Hey Pat.
Hey guys. Yeah, my brother was telling me that he was thinking about putting out a post, you know, about how like a public announcement from Alabama, you know, saying that until he is proven, he's assumed innocent until proven guilty. But I told him, I said, "Don't do it, man. we don't want to look like we're rubbing it in." But that's insane because I don't know how much money he was making in NIL, but I don't know how much you make selling that. But
I'm sure he was more than getting by NIL wise.
Yeah. It just seemed like that's too risky. I think the timing is what I think is funny. After they get the selection committee the very next morning, you know, but now that's apparently when they arrested him. But I think if that would have came out yesterday, I think they might have got a 5-seed instead of a 4-seed.
Yeah, that's true.
In all seriousness, I agree there.
Yeah. So, but I'm thrilled about Auburn getting the bid. I'm not sure I understand why Oklahoma did that. I guess they're just trying to get the NIL money. But
yes.
I am happy we get the three home games. That'll be good for Auburn.
Oh yeah. Speaking of that, I mean, I mentioned it a little while ago. I mean, it sure didn't hurt. It didn't hurt Nebraska being in it last year. They got $300,000 last year in NIL money, and now they had their best regular season in I don't know how long, and are in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much $300,000 is going to go in the long run, but I mean, anything helps. But
it might get you a backup. Like, you know,
I know how it'd go if it was the beat writers that got to split that money.
Yeah, but do they get the three home games though?
No, but they get three. They get three games in Vegas.
Yeah. See, I'm talking about from Auburn's perspective, like the community. You know.
Oh
like
yeah, you're right. You're right there.
I mean, South Alabama is going to bring up some people, I think.
What we don't know, though, Pat, we don't know when the next game would be. Ted was telling us it will be either Saturday or Sunday, and don't be surprised if it's like an 11 o'clock Sunday morning game.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey, anything, any positive news for basketball right now is good. And it does tell me one thing. And then and Stephen's comment is kind of questionable, but in terms of that he didn't talk to him, because I find that hard to believe. He may not have talked to him after, but I think I'm sure they talked about it.
I think you better have a pretty good idea that you're going to have a team. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they figured out before the committee, hey, because, I mean, we knew there's a good chance we weren't going to get in. So it was funny how they put Oklahoma in front of us just so that way we couldn't complain.
Be the first team out, right.
Yeah, because we were like net 37 or 38. I mean, that was we clearly were. Texas is the one I don't understand how they got in personally with their net. But anyway, but I do think that.
What did they go, 9-9 in conference, though? Or 10
and 8. Yeah, 9-9, but I mean, it's two games, but we played harder teams. We had they were like 47 on the net, you know, and we beat them head to head. So they kept them far, they moved them far enough ahead where we weren't head to head against Texas, mm-hmm. and then we weren't head to head against the.
Well, that the again, that's where the Ole Miss and Mississippi State losses were just those were the death blows for Auburn.
But how do you say we beat the SEC tournament champions, the SEC regular season champions and the Big East champions, but yet those don't count. That they don't overcome two losses that weren't great. And I mean, Ole Miss wasn't really a bad loss if you look at it.
Yeah, but you just can't lose 16. I mean, you just can't lose that many games.
I got you. Well, I think the most important thing right now is I don't think that they would have. That I don't think he would have accepted the NIT bid if the players were all like in disarray and just like ready to get the season over. I don't think there's any way he would have accepted it, because the last thing we want to do is go out.
No, the last thing you want to do is go out and lay an egg and be 17-17 and lose at home to South Alabama. No,
that's right. That's right. So I think that the team is a little bit more together than everyone tried to lead on. I think we ran into a couple of teams that got hot, you know, at the last minute. I mean Oklahoma got hot. I mean they won 7 out of 9.
Yeah, look at Ole Miss in the tournament.
Yeah, Ole Miss certainly play much better.
I think that was part of it. Is we ran into a buzzsaw a little bit on those two, you know. But the Mississippi State game is probably the one that we should have doubled him to start the game. Probably we did it the second go round. If we had just done it the first go round, mm-hmm. I think that would have been the key. But anyway, it's a great day. Other than that, thanks, guys. Warrior.
Good hearing from you, Pat. 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with being, and I'm not just wildly excited that Auburn's in the NIT, right. But I mean, I understand. And yes, I do, you know, I just hope for Auburn and Stephen Pearl's sake that they play well and they're able to bring back what they hope they can bring back for a core of a team next year not have to just completely start over.
That's the most important thing over the next couple of months is retaining the right players, mm-hmm. or the right number of players and the right players, and then going out there and having a really specific and just we're going to go after this guy and we're going to get him to fill this roster up with guys that are going to want to play in the system and are going to fit what Stephen wants to do. Definitely a rim protector and guys with length
at
on
least,
the perimeter.
Yeah, at least one. I think like you need a couple of inside guys. Yep. Depending, I mean, look, Brian. I think most people would say it's probably not a. They wouldn't put a high percentage on Tahad being back next year. Yep. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But I mean, I think you need another point guard. And you probably like one with a little, with a little more size than maybe Bruce has had over the last few years.
Yeah, I could see Stephen wanting more bigger guards.
Uh-huh, a little more length.
And maybe giving up a little bit on the shooting end to defend better, drive better, draw fouls better, mm-hmm. do all those other things better. And maybe just run an offense a little bit smoother than Auburn's offense runs right now. Sometimes it looks great, and other times it just –
Yeah, you're right.
One pass.
It's inconsistent.
And,
just been really, really inconsistent. I mean, and I think that part of the struggles as Auburn was losing down the stretch lent itself to a little more individual style of play, a little more, the ball not moving. Because early this year, I thought there were a few games early on when, you know, even, you know, as Auburn finished January in the SEC, mm-hmm. there were some games where the ball really moved well, mm-hmm. and, you know, kept moving, and you'd find the guy with the open shot, as opposed to seemed like coming down the stretch, it would be the ball didn't move that much. And, you know, whoever's got it coming across the timeline is going to probably take the shot.
Yeah. I wonder what it would be like to go back now and watch the Florida game.
Wow.
To see what I would look like in that game.
No kidding.
Yeah. A lot different.
A lot different. 334-321-1390. Let's get back to the drive hotline, and Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Brian. How y'all doing?
Great. Good to hear from you, Tex.
Good. Bill, do you think that we understood that we would be playing two top five teams in 6 days?
I think they had a pretty good idea when you schedule Georgia Tech and you have Texas coming in that they're going to be a couple of pretty good teams. I don't think they ever thought that, you know, it's a cakewalk midweek or anything with Georgia Tech.
Well, it's never has been for as long as I can remember.
No.
But it's interesting, and I wondered if they were going to move it up a little bit because of the weather.
Yeah, that was the reason given. Sure doesn't hurt that you got basketball at 9 o'clock and try to at least give a little time in between the games.
Yes. So for those people that I'll be there for the Texas series, but for those people that don't get to watch them, just I decided to share a little thing. I think I've shared it one other time here. If you go to YouTube, you can watch the ball games. Now, if you want to watch it and get through it all the way, yes, having to watch a few commercials, but you get to skip pretty easy. Always take the hijacker that's putting it on there with the best picture. The blurry picture is the one that gets kicked off, just to give you a little heads up. You get to watch the game. So I watched all three this weekend, which was a blast.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but it was a blast to watch. To watch the pitching staff handle themselves the way they did, and for us to just continue to play. They don't seem to ever – it reminded me of the USA team, and I'm not comparing the talent, but the USA team yesterday never looked frazzled other than the double play ball in the entire game against the Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way the team looks the whole time. And it's as confident a bunch as I can remember. Do you remember any more confident, Bill?
Probably no. No, not not in the last at least 15 years.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And by the way, for those people that are going to be there this weekend, it's the Letterman's reunion, mm-hmm. and they're honoring the 1976 World Series team on Saturday.
Awesome.
So, worth being there. I know a few guys that are going to be there.
Yeah, you know, somebody asked last week about I had a caller last week that was talking about we were talking about the depth of the pitching staff, and I sort of went back to that era when to the last time I could think of, you know, being able to go two or three starters and multiple guys coming out of the pen. So, I mean, it's very pleasant to see to know who you have scheduled for, you know, all weekend and not just one of the three spots.
Yeah, and they've been consistent in doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of which, any word on Waylon?
Yeah, he was going to meet with the doctors today, but they felt like it was the UCL and would require Tommy John. That was the initial report. So I hadn't confirmed, you know, exactly what it is yet, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah. So I'll get to see his parents again this weekend. We saw him and met him in Dallas, and that's an arm that I hope we can get back healthy.
Yeah, that's a tough break for him. Obviously a young person to go through that, but a tough break for the team too.
And then last but not least, do we have a full roster for basketball?
Well, that's interesting because
practice was closed today. Yes. So,
which it hasn't been closed all season, I remember, correct?
No.
And the quote today was, "I don't know about opt-outs yet because we visited last night after the selection show and obviously everyone was upset from not having made the tournament. And I told them to sleep on it, and I'll be with them here in the next 30 minutes." He was talking about at the press conference.
At 2:30 today was the next time he was going to be
practice.
With them.
They're having film in their practice. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing.
He said he would let us know.
Yeah. The famous
if there were any opt-outs.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 8:30. 8:15.
Yeah, that's right.
Before to start warming up.
As a starting, as you see the teams warming up, you're going, wait a minute, where is, yeah.
So maybe he really wasn't 100% sure, but whenever I hear that type of language, I'm always being skeptical about it, you know? Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Well, I just don't understand. There's guys that may never, well, this is the way I always looked at it. If you always had a chance to play, you play. If you're a competitor, you play. So that's one person's opinion.
That's pretty much what Steven said about why he wanted to continue playing, right? He wants to play ball.
I just play ball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you never know when the last one's coming.
Yeah.
So you play every chance that you can get. So, all right, guys, I appreciate it. And, Bill, we'll see you this weekend.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All right, Tex. All right. Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. We need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Yeah, we'll get to Brian's Monday musings and more when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
Uh-oh, a home of
the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Are we back? Welcome back in. Final segment of the Monday Drive. Fun show today. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun week with baseball, basketball, and football all to talk about this week. But one of the things we look forward to every Monday with Brian here with us is excuse me. Yeah, I got excited. I really choked up about it. It's Brian's Monday musings. What do you have on tap today, Brian?
Well, I wrote about football, basketball, and baseball.
Oh, okay.
And not long, but football, I kind of made a little sarcastic, jokingly talked about how, you know, hope springs eternal in the spring and, you know, that kind of stuff. And just talked a little bit about how there is a feeling, though, I feel like that Auburn hasn't had in a while where you feel like maybe this is finally it.
Well, I think there is a really strong sense of direction.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wrote a little bit about that. I wrote about Auburn accepting NIT bid, which I basically am like, there's a lot more upside to gain than there is downside. And we've talked about that, I think, a lot today. And then, I wrote about baseball and the two top five showdowns just a little bit, just to kind of set it up and make sure people knew what a big week this was going to be, and how Auburn, even though it is 30 games, right, a lot can happen, ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
That Auburn could sort of deliver an early blow.
Oh, you get off to a great start. Yeah. If you can win this series this weekend, be 5-1 in conference, if you just win the series, you're 5-1 after the sweep, and you're off to a great start. Yeah. And that's, you know, Auburn's had to dig itself out of too many holes early in baseball seasons.
Okay, so we're going back 58 years, 1968.
1968. Okay.
That's in my
ballpark.
The first, I think you're going to get this, posthumous single to reach the top of the U.S. charts.
Oh, 68. That's easy.
Yeah.
That's Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
You got it.
That is Otis.
Otis.
He left his home in Georgia.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually had Frisco Bay. Yeah, yep.
Well, he was. He was from Macon, wasn't he?
He was from Macon. I grew up there. And he was in, I guess this was right around the time he had that kind of famous performance at the Monterey Pop Festival, that was called. Yeah. So he was staying out there, and he was actually staying at a place on San Francisco Bay. And that's where he wrote it. Yeah. Not all of it. He had most of it written, or the thoughts of it, and then he finished it out in like 30 minutes.
Wow.
You
hear that so many times. It's just amazing to me to think of, you know, how many of the classics were.
When he finished it, it was just that was on December 7th. And then they recorded it that night with some other band members from the Barquets. And then they left to go to Cleveland. And then they played, I think he did an interview and played in Cleveland. And then 3 days later, December 10th, is when they got in the plane headed from Cleveland to Madison and never arrived.
They crashed
into the lake.
Yeah, that was his biggest hit.
Yeah, so 3 days after recording it. And he passed away. There was one survivor, Ben Carley, one of the Barquets, trumpet player, but everybody else was lost. He was just 26 years old.
Wow, I didn't realize he was that young. I mean, he'd already had I've been loving you too long, and try a little tenderness.
Yes.
I mean, he had a lot. He did a lot by the time he was 26.
Had a ton of hit songs. Had like 5 albums come out after his death.
Great voice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Songwriters Hall of Fame. Yeah. Just a terrific artist, gone too way too soon.
Always great stuff there with Brian's Monday Musings. Just part of so much that you'll find there at auburnsports.com. Tell everybody how they can keep up with it all.
Yeah, check us out. We will have blowout coverage tomorrow, especially football practice, baseball, basketball, and of course all week recruiting too. Plenty of that. Check us out, auburnsports.com. Sign up online. You can follow me Twitter/X at BMattAU.
All right, Brian. Thanks a lot, man. Always great to have you in. I'll see you in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And we will talk to you tomorrow afternoon. We're out of time here on the Monday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.